your lives anymore or not, but everybody used to make New Year's resolutions. They would make resolutions about the things they were going to change in their lives, and usually it didn't take but a day or two before most of the resolutions were shot for the year. You'd already broken whatever the resolution was. But we as Christians need to not worry so much about making a resolution in the new year, but more we need to worry more about making a resolution permanently. And so what we're looking at today is, where do we draw the line in the new year? When we come to Christ, we're born again, and that new birth makes all things new. Everything that's old passes away and all things are made new. It's a good time to become aware of personal sin. And everybody's got personal sin. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It's a good time to believe that God loves us. In Romans 5:8 it says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us." It's also a good time to respond to that love by receiving Christ as Savior, if you haven't done that already. Romans 10:8-10 says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So where does all this lead? All of this leads to us making resolutions. All of this leads to us coming to Christ as Savior and as Lord. And all of it leads to turning over our life a piece at a time to God, for him to run for us. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it under our own power, because we're just not built that way. We're, by reason of the sin that is in the world and the sin that we were in before we came to know Christ, we will sin if we try to live our lives on our own. So the question becomes, how do I please the Lord in daily living? Where shall I draw the line on questionable activities? If it's questionable for anyone, it's questionable. It's a questionable activity. It may not be a sin for you, but if it causes someone else to stumble, if it causes another person, somebody that's new in Christ, to question your salvation, or to question what's right and wrong, then it should be avoided. Where shall I draw the line on anything that is not expedient? Paul reminds us that the Christian life is a new life. In verse 11, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, it says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So we were sinners in this world. We had sinned against God. And some of the sins that we had committed were horrendous sins. And some of the sins that we've committed since we came to know Christ have been horrendous sins. But when we know Christ, when we're washed in the blood, and when we are following him, we're cleaned, we're sanctified, we're washed by the blood. And so we don't follow that anymore. But as we look at those around us who stumble, as we look at those around us who haven't come to know Christ yet, we are not to sit in judgment. We are not to look at them and decide that we're better off than they are, because that's like the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple. That's a judgment, and we are not to make that judgment. Those who don't know Christ cannot avoid the sin that they're in. Those who know Christ and sin will do so occasionally. And if they are willfully in sin, then Jesus tells us in Matthew how we're supposed to approach that. If we know the sin and we know that person is involved in the sin, then we are to approach them and tell them, we know about this sin and you need to repent of the sin and come back to Christ. And then if that doesn't work and the person continues in the sin, the next time you take a couple of other Christians with you and you confront that person again. And if that doesn't work and they continue in the sin, then you bring them before the congregation and you deal with it. You either tell the person, the congregation would tell the person to stop being involved in that sin. And if they continued in that sin, then they're to be disassociated with. But it's like Paul said, such were some of you in past tense. We are washed, set apart, made just in God's sight. Christ's blood justifies us. It sanctifies us so that we can come into the presence of God, so that we can stand to be in the presence of God, because without Christ's blood, without his righteousness covering us, we would not be able to stand in the presence of God. All things are lawful, but we're not saved by keeping the law, though. Even if it's lawful for us, that's not what saved us. It's faith in Christ that saves us. It's confession of our sins that saves us. It may be lawful for you to do some things, but by doing those things, we're not saved. If we keep the Ten Commandments, if we keep the ordinances of God, if we keep the commandments that are in the New Testament, those do not save us. They help to make us a good person. They help to give us a life that is worthy to look at. But they don't save us. We can keep all of those. We can't keep all of those. But if we were to keep all of those, that would still not save us, because that's not how we're saved. All things are not expedient. Expedient means that which helps along, that which encourages and assists. Not all things contribute to growth in the Christian life. So the question you ask yourself when you're looking at something to do or not to do, you ask yourself, will this activity make me love Christ more? Will this do anything for my relationship with Christ? And if it won't, then don't do it. If it will, then certainly do it. Will this activity enable me to serve Christ more effectively? In other words, if I do this activity, if I immerse myself in a particular study or activity, will it make it easier, or will it make it my service to Christ better? If it will, then by all means do it. We need to draw the line on anything that enslaves. We need to draw the line on anything that will keep us down. There is wonderful freedom in Christ. We are free to be Christ's if we submit to him. And he has a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. He wants us to have life abundant life, and not one that is under a burden. All things are in my power. That's Paul speaking. But I will not be overpowered by them. In other words, if you're going to do something, are you going to maintain control over it, or is it going to take control of you? People that gamble will find themselves quickly in, pulled into believing that just one more game of cards, one more pull of that one-armed bandit, one more whatever, one more lottery card, and I'll win back the money that I've lost. And it just doesn't work that way. And when you get to that point, then it's got control over you. You don't have control over it. And Paul was very specific about sexual immorality. The thing about when he was talking to Timothy, he told Timothy to stand and fight on all other sins, but on sexual immorality, you were supposed to run. Just run from sexual immorality. Because that's a sin that you become very involved in, and it draws you in quicker than other sins, and it's more powerful than other sins. All things are permitted, but money is lawful, but I will not be under its power. Is it all right to have money? Sure, it's all right to have money. And if you're going to handle it properly, God's probably going to bless you with it. If you're not going to handle it properly, God's probably not going to bless you with a lot of money. Will the pursuit of money enslave you? Will making $1 million or putting $1 million in the bank or whatever your financial goal is that all consuming? Does that become what you're after instead of a life in Christ? God's going to bless you as he sees fit. God's going to bless you according to what you can handle. God's going to bless you throughout your life. But if what that is that he would bless you with is going to consume you so that you pursue it instead of him, then that becomes an idol, and God's not going to bless you with that. Recreation is lawful, but it is not to be our master. I know a lot of people that say I can worship God at the lake just as much as I can in church, and that is true. And God is at the lake every weekend, but that doesn't mean that's where we need to meet him every weekend. My father enjoys hunting. He'll be 89 next month, and this month. And he still enjoys going hunting. And about 10 years ago, I sent him a little card that I had found, and it had this old man in a hospital bed in the back of a pickup truck, and a nurse was attending this person, and he had an IV going, had his rifle. He says, "Well, I think this might be my last year, but Dad enjoys hunting, but it doesn't consume him. He's not going to hunt all the time. He's not going to shirk his other responsibilities, and he's not going to let that get between him and God. Political power is lawful, but it is not to rule us. There are those who seek political power, and that's all consuming. That's all they're after. And it's fleeting. Political power is fleeting, and pursuing it just to be famous or just to be important or somebody that somebody that just wants to be somebody, if they're going to put that between them and Christ, then it's something that they should stay away from. Let nothing become your master except Jesus Christ. Draw the line on anything that does not edify. In chapter 10, verse 23, it says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify." Not all things build up. Not all things are going to help me grow in Christ. Not all things are going to help others who watch me grow in Christ. So I need to be careful of doing things that are lawful, that are going to be a stumbling block to others, who are we to be building up? In context, our brothers and sisters in Christ is who we're to be building up. Those that know the Lord, our church family, we're supposed to build each other up. We're supposed to help each other grow. It's not an individual, it's not an individual journey all the time. We have times that it is an individual journey, that it is a personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal one-on-one worship time with Christ, a personal one-on-one prayer time with Christ. But we have times that those activities are corporate. In other words, the people of Christ gather together and they worship together. They gather together and they pray together. They gather together and they praise God together. Because of that, and because people are at different places in their growth in Christ, a mature Christian will know that certain things are, it's just not a problem. Now, in this particular case, Paul was talking about meats that have been sacrificed to idols. And new Christians were having real problems with mature Christians because mature Christians were buying the meat and going ahead and eating it, and it didn't bother them. And the meat markets that they had, if you went to the temple of the idol, you could eat the food there. And the food that was left over was sold to the meat market, and then the meat market would resell it to the public. If you went to the temple to eat it there, there was a problem. But if you were buying meat from the meat market, it really isn't a problem because you're not, you don't know or care where the meat came from. And you're not worshiping the idol that it came from. So, what Paul was trying to point out was that even though you're a mature Christian and you don't ask where it came from, so it doesn't matter, if it's going to cause a problem for new Christians, then you need to not do it. If it's not going to build up others, we must leave it out of our lives. The threefold test of all we do and say in this new year: does it help me along in my Christian life? Will it allow me to remain free, or will it become my master? Does it build up others? Ask those questions as you pursue the things that you wish to do, as you pursue the things that you're asked to do. Ask those questions, and you'll know whether or not it's something that you should do or should not do. John Wesley said, "Whatever cools my affection towards Christ is of the world," and he wouldn't have anything to do with it. And J. Wilbur Chapman said, "Anything that dims my vision of Christ, or takes away my taste for Bible study, or cramps my prayer life, or makes Christian work more difficult, is wrong for me." That's the way we should look at things. That is a method and a test of Christian growth. If it takes away from my relationship with Christ, if it interferes with what I'm trying to accomplish in my relationship with Christ, then it doesn't need to be a part of my life, and I need to pursue something else. Where are you at with these things today? What questions are you asking as you pursue whatever it is that you're pursuing, whatever activities it is that you're planning? Most of us have a job, and we just went straight through from one year to the other, and it's going to be the same way. We're going to be doing the same thing for the most part this year as we did last year. And we're going to have outside activities. And I don't mean that as as in outside. I'm talking about activities away from work. And we're going to have family gatherings, and we're going to have all kinds of things that come up as possibilities this coming year. We need to ask the questions that are presented here. Does it help me along in my Christian life? Will it allow me to remain free, or will it become my master? And does it help? Does it build up others when we look at those activities? And if the answer to those questions is negative, then we need to not do that particular activity. Doesn't mean you're not going to have anything to do this year. I doubt anybody here could say that they don't have anything to do next year. I'm probably as close to anybody as saying, being able to say that in this room. But you need to answer these questions and ask these questions as you come into this year. Think about where you're at. Think about what you're doing. And look at those in the context of a new Christian in Christ, a babe in Christ, or someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, and they look at you and they know you know the Lord. Do they see a difference in you as opposed to the world? If not, they're not going to be interested in what Jesus has to offer, because they don't see anything being offered that's different than the world. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and open your word. Lord, I know I've struggled with this in the presentation of this message, and I ask that you would smooth that over, that you would that the message would still be heard. That as we go into our daily lives, as we look at our activities that we do, and let's consider those that are new Christians, babes in Christ. Let's consider those that don't know you as Lord. Let's consider those who are our peers, and whether or not it's going to edify them, whether or not it's going to build them up, whether or not it's going to help them grow in Christ, or if it's going to tear them down. And Lord, help us to have the conviction of not doing those things that are detrimental to anyone's Christian life, whether it's whether they're mature or they haven't come to Christ yet. Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to change the answer to these questions on something and make a significant decision today, I ask that you would give them the strength to make that decision, and that they would live and behave and act in accordance with what your word has to say. And Lord, I ask that you would have them do it out of a love for you, and not because they have to do, or because they should do, or they ought to do, but because they love you. And Lord, I ask that we would be at the center of your will, that we would continue to seek that. And as we seek it, let us find it. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.